Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Well, God, if this is what you have, this is what we're going for, and this is what we're going to go with. Amen? So let's pray for this message. Father God, we love you, we praise you, we glorify you today in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your word. And God, we thank you that you have given it to us to direct us and to guide us, to help us and to shape us. And so, Father, today we pray that you would just mightily use this word, Father, that we wouldn't leave here the same way that we came. God, we've come here tonight to worship you and to hear from you. And so, God, we ask that you would directly speak to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. The working question I want to start with tonight is, who are you living for? Who is the person that you are trying to please? One of the biggest obstacles that we have, for those of us that are parents, or even those of you that were children or still are, is that it's, as a parent, it's hard to convince our kids to be the children that we want them to be, not who their group of friends want them to be. And regardless of the phase of life that you're in, you have to fight this with kids in elementary school, in junior high, in high school. And then when you're a pastor, you have to fight it with the friends that they have in their lives. And in this day and age of social media, it is very easy for the opinions of others to rule and control your life. Even if you're not on social media, we live in a world that has image. We live in a world that has everybody's got an opinion. You have been marketed to your whole entire life that if you don't look a certain way, sound a certain way, have the certain thing, that people are going to feel, think, and say things about you. And so what's hard is that if you are not headstrong and heartstrong in who you are in Christ, you will struggle to function in this world because you will constantly be worrying about what everybody else is saying and what everybody else is thinking. Now, there is a balance, right? I mean, first and foremost, we must live wholly and completely for Jesus and Him alone. But on the other hand, we can't be so rude that we treat everybody poorly. We have gone from a society of hats and ties to a society of pajamas at Walmart. There's a balance, right? There's a point of where I'm not going to put on a suit and tie so you'll accept me. Okay, but can you do a step up from PJs? Like, can we have a minimum level of decorum that says, I care enough about you as a person, I brushed my teeth to meet with you today. The scripture that we're going to be working from tonight is Matthew chapter 10. And it's just two little scriptures. And this is just kind of what's going to guide us through the whole entire evening as we talk about it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 through 33, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Everybody's got their salvation story, the time when you came to Christ. And I've been saved about 100 times. But the first time I really got saved, when Christ became real to me, it was this verse that kind of spurred me to that next step of who I was in Christ. I was raised in a Christian home. My mom took us to Lutheran church, and I did the felt boards, and I did all the stuff that you do in Sunday school. And we ended up going to United Methodist Church. And there was always this balance in my life where I knew that God was real. I knew that God had called us to live for Him. But there was always this rub with my friends, or when I was at school, that people would, on Mondays, they would always say, well, what did you do this weekend? And you would never say you went to church, because they would pick on you for going to church. Right? You never wanted to be that kid. I mean, when I was a kid, you got picked on for everything. I mean, you get a haircut, you don't get a haircut, you get new shoes, no, you get picked on for everything. So you never said anything about church. And so sometimes you would be very ashamed of the fact that you even went to church. And the point at which my Christian life changed was the point at which I decided I was completely fine with whatever happened to me socially, based on the fact that everybody knew that I was a Christian. And the guy that led me to Christ, he asked that question. He said, you can either spend your life crucifying Christians or being crucified for Christ. And in that moment, that was what changed the trajectory of my spiritual life. When I got saved, I got born again, I came to faith, whatever you want to say. And I believe that God does not want us to be people who deny that Christ is in our lives. Not at all. And in this day and age that we live in, much to the chagrin of people that would say to the contrary, we are in an antagonistic country against Christianity. And people would say different of say, well, Christians have this or Christians have that. But the truth is, people don't like Christianity anymore. The news doesn't like us. People don't like us. We're the butt of jokes. We aren't portrayed well in TV and movies and everything else. And so God needs and requires you to step up and speak up for him. He really does. And even more so, he needs you to step up for him and speak for him in a world that only has a host of voices that are speaking the wrong thing about who God is. It seems that the voices that are speaking the most wrong things have the loudest voices and the biggest audiences and are leading people astray. I know that sometimes when I preach, I sound like a broken record because I'm constantly revisiting the same things. It's because we have a growing church. And in a growing church, I don't just have to lead people and tell them who Christ is. I have to reprogram people who thought they were Christians and have been told who Christ is not. And that's even harder sometimes to convince somebody that who you thought Jesus was is not who he thought he was, because the Jesus that you were taught was not based on the scriptures. And so we as Christians have to speak up about what we believe and who we are. And words are necessary. They just are. Actions are necessary. I know that many of you follow me on social media. Sometimes I like to chop it up on Facebook a little bit. Honey, would you get me a lozenge, please, out of there? I like to chop it up on social media, and I love to game it. I mean, I like to troll people a little bit. But I really, what I feel my calling is as a man of God is to dispel the myths about who Christ really is. Thank you. And to really tell people what the Bible really says. Now, some other people that go to churches or think that they know the Jesus of the Bible get very upset with me because they think that I'm being rude or mean by sharing what the Bible says. But for me, I feel like it's my responsibility. So if I'm in a relationship with you either online or in person and you are saying something that's wrong, I'm not going to let it fly because I feel like I'm doing you a disservice. I'm not doing it well. And so for us, when we deny what we know and who we are in Christ, we are in essence living for others and not for Christ. It's really what it boils down to. When you care more about what other people think than you care about what God thinks, when you choose what you say, where you go, how you act, what you share, based on what you think that other people are going to say, do, believe, and respond to you, you have now crossed over where you're no longer living for Christ, you're living for other people. You're living for the opinions of men. And oftentimes we hide it under this guise of, well, I just want to be loving, or I just want to share Christ with them, and I would never want to do anything that would break that opportunity. But when you read the Bible, that's not how the early disciples acted. They didn't go out walking softly, worrying about whether or not they were going to offend people. They're willing to die for their faith. And again, there's a balance. There's a point where you can be a Christian jerk and you're leading no one to nowhere. And there's a point where you can be firm in who you are and not be willing to be bent by what other people are thinking about you. Few things I want to share with you tonight. The first one is this, is that when you live for others' opinions, it will control your mind.
Yeah, that's true.
It really will. What happens is you blow it up in your head what you think other people are thinking, and it will destroy your mind and it will steal your joy. Because, and some of us, I wish that we could say that we have moved past junior high and that we no longer think so much about what people are going to say on the bus, or we don't care about what people are going to say, even amongst our families and our friends. But what's interesting is that we think about it far too much. And some of you, would anybody else be honest and say that they probably think too much about what other people think? Okay, good. All right. So I'm not preaching to a dead audience tonight. Because I look at you guys sometimes like, Pastor, this is all for you. You know? Sometimes I overthink what people think way too much. And it's the little stuff, right? I mean, what clothes am I going to wear? Or how am I going to wear my facial hair? Or how am I going to wear my hair? Like I've got this dream of not cutting my hair for a year just to see what it would do. My wife's laughing. Jay would be like, do it, man. I would love to say it. Jay's all about it. But after about 3 weeks, I don't think I could handle what people would say to me. Right? I mean, I have hair, but I have a high forehead and my hair kind of comes back here, and people be like, so what are you going for here, man? What do you want? You know, visitors come to the church and they're like, who is this guy? What's he trying to prove? What's he trying to hold on to? Right? Is it a midlife crisis? I don't know, man. My hair is, just hasn't been longer than an inch for the last 25 years. I just want to, you know, maybe I want to just go like this a little bit, you know? Just kind of let it flow, pull it back. Maybe a little ponytail in the back, something. See, how you guys are the exact reason why I worry about the opinions of others. There should have been a resounding, whatever you want for you, it's fine. But you can't, right? Because this is how people are. Even the thought of me growing my hair is enough to make you guys cringe. Like, no way. I can't listen to you preach going like this. Can you imagine? Be like, so anyway, the other thing, just not going to happen. Now, here's what's hard is when you live for other people, it controls your mind. And then what happens is you overthink things in your head to the point that you see things that you aren't seeing or think things that aren't true. Then you begin, you go into this other realm where it's very clear that I was thinking correctly what people would say about my hair, okay? It was abundantly clear. I wasn't paranoid, okay? It's abundantly clear. You guys don't sign off on that. All right. Now, that being said, there can be a point where you just create stuff in your head that just isn't true. Right? And it becomes this point of paranoia where you actually, now this is going to hurt, but it's true. You think people actually care that much about you that they're thinking about you. You think you're that important when the reality is most people are so self-consumed with the own thoughts about themselves. They don't have time to be thinking about what you're doing. And so what have you done? You've given them control over your mind to the point of paranoia. I can't count how many times I've stood in front of my closet on Sunday mornings and held up the clothes that I'm going to wear on Sunday. And I said to Crystal, I said, honey, did I wear this last week? And she says, honey, I don't know what I wore last week. And nobody cares what you wore last week. And nobody's even going to remember. But in that mind, I'm thinking, they're thinking jeans this, shirt that. I mean, sometimes I love Pastor Todd. I would love to just go the Pastor Todd route, right? Just black shirt, jeans, black shoes. Just be done with it. Just be done. Now, if we all did that in the church, people would start talking. So let's not do that. But the truth is that people are so consumed with their own life, they don't have time to be thinking about yours. Now, if you're confident in who you are in Christ, you don't have time to think about what other people are thinking about you. You just don't. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now, I make light about things like what we're wearing or what we're doing with our hair, but it's the big stuff, right? I mean, it's easy to joke about the little stuff, but the big stuff, you can't be overly consumed with what other people are going to say or think. If you are focusing on the things of God, if you are focusing on what you believe that God has called you to do, you're going to be in peace. You're not going to allow other people to control your mind. What are you thinking about during the day? Are you thinking about the things of God? Are you reminding yourselves of scriptures? Are you singing worship songs unto the Lord? Are you consumed of, man, if I make this decision and I do this, somebody else is going to think this, somebody else is going to say this, somebody else is going to respond to this? And oftentimes, it's not just our circle of friends. This can happen within our families, right? Where you're trying to please your parents or your kids or your aunts and uncles or just your extended family, and you want to make decisions to honor God, and you're too worried about what your family's going to say about it. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What are you praying about? Like what things consume your mind when you're talking to God? Are you asking him, God, how can I please those people around me? Is that what you ask him? Or do you pray and ask and say, God, I want to please you. Tell me what I should be doing. Tell me how I should be living. Tell me what I should be saying. Because if you're pleasing God, you won't have any anxiety. You won't have anybody else controlling your mind. You won't be making your decisions through this filter of, well, how is everybody else going to respond to it? How is God going to respond to it? How is the Lord gonna respond to you being faithful to what he has asked you to do? Because the truth is that there's always gonna be naysayers. Always, man. People call them haters, and I love that. The haters hate people that are more successful than them. Haters hate people that are doing something they wish they could do. Haters hate people that don't care what other people think. And honestly, some haters are purely demonic. They are the discouragers that try to keep you from doing what God has asked you to do. And so you could have 200 people that are pleased with what you're doing because they're Christians and they're excited about what God has called you to do. And you get that one person that says some snide remark, and all of a sudden you're going to shut it down just because of one thing that they said. I love in Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." You know, I rarely like to share my successes. I like to share my failures because I feel like people identify with them more. But one of the successes that Crystal and I have had in our life is this church. And I mean that as humbly as possible. It's because of you and God and all of us. We've done this, okay? But there was a point where me and Crystal had to make the decision to say, like, this is us. This is what we're doing. And I have never had more discouragement in my entire life than I had when I told people I wanted to go into the ministry. And then even more so when we said we wanted to start a church. And that was just the Christians. I mean, I can't count the amount of pastors that told me I shouldn't do it and I wasn't called of God and I should do something else. And family members that said that they wouldn't support us. We literally lost family members when we started our church that we still haven't talked to, and our relationships haven't been the same for 15 years. Simply because we asked them to support us, and they said they want nothing to do with what we're doing, hoping that we had failed and all these other things. You can't live for other people. Because here's the second thing. When you live for other people, it destroys your confidence. If you were the most confident person in the world, you would never think discouraging thoughts. But you do think discouraging thoughts and they destroy your confidence. And largely, it's because people around you are discouraging you from doing that which God has called you to do. Now, the Bible says things like don't cast your pearls before swine. And people think that's a rude scripture. I think it actually makes sense a lot of times. If I'm trying to step out in faith and do something big, what I've learned in my life is I only want to share it with people that have big faith, that believe God for big things. I don't share it with losers who believe in failure, that believe that God doesn't call people, that doesn't want to think outside of the box. And people say, well, that's kind of rude. And I say, why is it rude? The Bible says don't cast your pearls before swine. I want to share my visions with people that want to believe that God's a restorer, that God's a redeemer, that God can do big things, that God can accomplish great things. And so when you surround yourself around godly people that believe that God can do big things, they don't get discouraged when you're excelling for things in Christ. They get encouraged. And they say, man, if you can do that for God, man, I can do that for God. And let's do great big things for God. But if you live too much for others, it will destroy your confidence. Think about how much less fear you would have if you didn't live for the opinions of men. If you just were like, you know what, forget it, man. God's called me to do it, I'm going to do it. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Watch this. God is always asking his people to do or say something. And if you're living for others, it will destroy your confidence. It will keep you from stepping out in faith. Because when you live for other people, it literally can stop you from doing God's will because you will lack the confidence to do what God has called you to do. I mean, let's be honest, man. You have to be pretty pumped up spiritually to do some of this stuff that God calls you to do. From the small to the mundane to the big, just to even make a commitment. Because oftentimes, and in this church, we're always asking you to make commitments, right? Make a commitment to serve in the ministry, or make a commitment to serve in the children's ministry, or cleaning, or worship, or meeting with the kids, or helping out, or meal train, or whatever. And even just making that commitment that I'll do that, and I'll be there, and I'll be a part of that, that takes confidence. There's a measure of trust that comes with that. But if you're living for the opinions of men, it will erode that confidence inside of you. Here's the deal. If it is biblical, if it's of God, and if the Holy Spirit is telling you to do it, you need to do it. What people will say about it is irrelevant. What God says is what's relevant. The Bible says in Psalm 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. See, I have, and me and Jay have talked about this many times, and it was just in the last week we were talking to somebody about this. There's been these big, huge steps that I've gone through in my ministry at Faith and Victory. One of the first big steps was starting, okay? The next big step was going full-time in the ministry. The next big step was hiring Pastor Todd. The next big step was hiring Pastor Amber. The next big step was buying the building. The next big step was hiring Pastor Jeremy. And the next big step will be planting the church. Like, there's these big steps, and every time they take this big emotional toll in my stomach, like painful emotional stomach. Now, Jay has always been the guy that just pushes me over the edge. And I remember before I went full time in the ministry, we only had enough money to support Crystal and I for 14 months. And if the church didn't grow, then everything would fall apart and we would fail. And so we were sitting on this bit of money and we were talking to Jay. And I remember Jay was saying like, oh, you know, trust God. And I remember this word picture. He said, listen, man, you've got the ace high flush. There's two cards to come. You're going to get one on the flop and on the river. You got a solid hand, man. You should just push all in like this. She want to do. I am so spiritual. And I said, listen, man, this is what I need to hear from you, okay? Tell me that if it all falls apart, that me and my family can come live in your basement. And he was like, what do you mean? I said, I just want to know that if everything falls apart, right? The church fails, I fail. Me, Crystal, Gabe, and Faith have a place to live in your basement because I don't want to move in with my mom. And he was like, yeah, dude, no problem, right? Yeah, come live in my basement. I was like, okay, good. Because in my mind, I needed that fail safe. I needed that bit of confidence. But here's what's really happened in that moment. What happened is at that moment, it changed the trajectory of my life. Is I had to get to a point where I was fine with my story being, I risked everything for God and I lost it all. I just had to get to that point where it was like, well, that's just going to be my testimony. And I had to kind of go there for a minute of seeing what it would look like going back to my friends and family, going back to my you know, coworkers or whatever with my tail between my legs. And it's like, man, I thought you were going to start a church. Yeah, man, we tried. I failed miserably. Like, hey, man, didn't you guys used to have a house? Yeah, man, we did. I trusted God, man, 100% and swung for the fences. Now I live in my friend's basement. But I thought you were trusting God. I'm like, yeah, man, I did. Trusted in God 100%. Lost everything, and now I live in my friend's basement. You have to get to that point, though. Like, I'm fine with that because either God is watching or he's not. Either he knows what I'm doing or he doesn't. And if he is watching, he knows what I'm doing. I don't look bad because of that. I mean, a misinformed person might think that it makes me look bad, but it doesn't make me look bad. It makes God look bad. Because if I get on the God train and go where he's taking me and then I get taken somewhere else, it doesn't make me look bad. It makes God look bad because he's like, I'm trusting you, God. I'm going where you're taking me. Now, I don't think Jay's basement's available to everybody at any given time, so don't take that as a biblical reference. Jay said you can live upstairs, it'll be fine, but only if you start a church and throw everything away, all right? Here's the other part of it, okay? Because 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. Oftentimes when you are doing things for God, they won't make sense to the world, okay? There's always this point of, and I've talked to people about this in the last couple months. There's a point of prudence. There's a point of like, and Crystal said this on her blog earlier this week where, you know, when you're in a plane, you've got to put on your own oxygen mask before you affix somebody else's. And so now, mind you, sometimes God will ask you to do things that don't make any sense. And if it's the Holy Spirit, you've got to listen to the Holy Spirit and you've got to do it. But sometimes there's like this Christian guilt or this like, oh, I probably should. And then you end up helping somebody else at the expense of yourself. And then you're living in a van down by the river and they're living in a nice apartment. You're like, well, I was trusting God. Well, if you heard God, go and do that. But if you didn't, don't think that you're going to get any spiritual accolades from just trying to lay on the Christian coals, man. It just doesn't work that way. But sometimes God does ask you to do foolish things. things. Sometimes God asks you to go places that you normally wouldn't go, or ask you to give things you normally wouldn't give, or be a part of things that you normally wouldn't be a part of. Because here's the next part. If you are living for others, it literally will control you. When you focus too much on what others think, it keeps you from being who God called you to be. You become too overcalculated and you think you can't do something because you start being who you think other people want you to be. And this is a dangerous place to be, man. Like, God created you the way that you are. Now, you always have to side note this, because there's parts of you that weren't created by God that you're just a jerk by your own choice and volition, okay? God didn't create you to be rude, mean, self-serving, or self-righteous, arrogant. Those aren't fruits of the Spirit. But there's this part of you that's just kind of like, it's just you, man. You know, God made you a little bit louder, a little bit quieter, a little bit quirky, or a little bit weird, or there's things that you like that other people don't understand, and you shouldn't have to hide that. You shouldn't have to say, well, you know, I don't want other people to know that this is a part of me. Or now, if it's sin, then get it out of your life. But you know what I'm saying? You can't change your personality just because you're worried about what other people think. Galatians 1:10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." And like I spoke about earlier, I understand that most people don't like what I post about on Facebook. And at times I'm fine with it. And people say it's a poor witness. And sometimes I literally think that Christians are just too cowardly. I really do. And I think that cowardly is not a fruit of the Spirit. Again, I think there's a point where you can just be full on mean. But there's this also point where it's like, man, I can't just stand idly by and allow something to be spoken that shouldn't be spoken, or not speak up when something needs to be said. And I'm going to be true to who I am. I've got to be true to what I believe. It's hard to be in a place where you want to be honest about what God is asking you to do and not worry about what everybody else is going to say. Because there is a part where you want to honor your family and you want to honor your friends and you want to honor your parents, but there's a point where it stifles who you are, and especially who you are in Christ. Like, if you're readjusting how you're living your life to please anybody else besides God, you're in the wrong. Like, you've now crossed over into sin. When you live for other people, it can control every part of who you are. You begin to wear clothes that people want you to wear, not what you want to wear. You say their words. You do what they think they want you to do. In social situations, when you're living for other people, you will find yourself limiting your interactions with people because you overthink what you're going to do before you go into that social interaction, and you overthink while you're in them. And so now people are controlling every part of your thought and actions. Now, most people would say, if they knew me, like, Matt, you're a confident guy, right? I mean, I know who I am. I'm pretty confident. I'm good in social situations. I'm not afraid to talk to people. But what's interesting is that if I'm with Crystal and I have to go into a social situation where I don't know anybody, I get nervous. Like, and like, if we're at a school function, or we every once in a while we'll be at some other social function, like in a house full of people where I don't know anybody, and I just don't even know what to do with myself, right? I mean, I'm just kind of like, and before I go in, I'm like sitting in the car and I'm like pre-call planning in my head, like, okay, I'm going to ask this and I'm going to say this, and you know, and I'm definitely not going to do this, because if I do that, then people aren't going to like me, or they're going to say something about me. Because it's funny, when around you guys like my friends, so if I do something quirky or weird, you guys are like, ah, it's just Matt, it's fine, right? But around people that don't know me, like, they just don't know me, right? I mean, when my kids at their sporting events, I always get in trouble and they don't want me to say anything because I just don't get to be who I am, you know? Like the other day, we were at Faith's basketball game, and when I was in college, we always got to yell at the refs, and we would yell at the refs, and they just let us do it. We'd be like, man, what kind of call is that? It's garbage. You wearing glasses, ref? What, did you just get off work in Foot Locker? What are you doing? You know? And we would be like from here to there on the front, just screaming and yelling, and they would just ignore us. They wouldn't care. It's college, right? Well, apparently you can't do that in high school. You know? And so we were at the game, and apparently I couldn't do that. So every time they made a bad call, I just go, no. And so the gym was kind of quiet, and he'd be like, traveling. I'd be like, no. And then the people around kind of started to laugh a little bit. And then Faith kind of looks at me from the bench like, would you stop? No. And I, you know, I really think that you guys don't know the measure of restraint that I show in my life. I really do. And there's this guy that I've been building a friendship with, and I know him from the gym, and I know him from the school, and his daughter's on the team, and he pulled me aside. He was like, you know, Matt, I was a little concerned about what you were doing at the game the other night. I said, what? He goes, when you kept saying no. And I was like, was it no? Like, I was like, we were having fun. You know, we were losing by 40 points, okay? It wasn't like we were rubbing it in the face. I was just holding on to some sort of excitement as I was stuck in this gym, you know? And he kind of was talking about, well, you know, people might perceive you a certain way, and they might think certain things about you. And I'm like, I'm at a sports game, man. I said no. Like, I didn't cuss. I didn't swear. I didn't throw anything, right? I didn't get out on the court. I wanted to, but I just didn't. Why do I share that with you, man? Is that when you're going to be in situations, you're going to do things, but if you worry too much about what other people think and you let it control you, eventually you become fearful of every situation. You can't even go out to eat and pray with your family because you're worried about what people are going to say. You can't even minister to somebody in the foyer of the church because you're worried about, like, oh, what are these people at church going to say? And this affects your relationships, your recreation, and that really where it ends up is you're unable to be used at church because you've just gotten your confidence ripped from you. Ephesians 5:15-16 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Here's the next point. When you're living for others, it will cause you to be ashamed of God. You know, there was a guy named Peter in the Bible who was very close with Jesus, and he thought he would never deny Christ, but he did three times. And sometimes we think that we would never disown Christ when the reality is we do it. We disown Christ and are ashamed of Christ many times. And there's opportunities at every door that are opened. And if we don't walk through those doors and take those opportunities, and we're too concerned with other people, we end up shaming God because we're not willing to step in. You know, during this Christmas season, we were out shopping quite a bit. We were at the Super Mall a few weeks ago, and we were in some store that had a bunch of TV screens, and they were playing Christian rap music. It was a Lecrae video, and it was like, yeah, it was like in Journey or Zoomies or one of these other stores. It wasn't even a Christian store. And I was sitting there, and I was up by the checkout thing, and I said to the guy, I said, hey, man, isn't this Lecrae? He goes, yeah, man, it's Lecrae. I said, it's Christian rap. He goes, yeah. And I said, so why are you guys playing this? He goes, I don't know, man. He goes, I just like it. I was like, oh. And I said, and then he said, yeah, he goes, I'm not even a Christian, but I like Christian hip hop because it's so positive. And so we had a little talk about, I was like, oh man, you got to check out KB, and you got to check out Trip Lee, and you got to check out Pettity, like like all these things, right? And then he talked about, he was on cross country and he went to Central and he listened to KJ52 and Andy Mineo and all these other guys. He goes, but I'm not really a Christian. I was like, oh, well, have a Merry Christmas. And then I walked out. Yeah, thanks. I'm sure that you maximize every last opportunity. Remember how I told you I share my failures and not my successes? I felt horrible about it, man. I mean, we walked down the mall, and I think I was with Faith that night. She didn't notice. She didn't know whatever. And I was like, man, I should go back. I'm like, so you're not a Christian. So have you heard about the four spiritual laws? Like, you know, like, and it really, it hurt me for the rest of the night because I just thought, man, what a missed opportunity. Dang it. Now, hopefully you guys can hear from my own failure as your pastor and leader of Faith and Victory Church. Listen, I do share my faith. It was just a moment when I missed the opportunity. But in that moment, I was afraid to like step out in faith. I was afraid to just talk to him about it and be like, man, how are you not a Christian? There's something inside of this music that touches you. Would you like to get together for a cup of coffee after you get off work? I'd love to share with you more about Christianity. But I lacked the confidence. I was too worried about what are the people around me going to think. I was even worried about, I was with my daughter. What's she going to think? Right? And what she should have thought is my dad has some confidence to talk to people about Jesus. And I usually do, but in that moment, man, I missed the mark. The Bible says in Luke 9:26, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his own glory and in his Father and of the holy angels. How do you subtly deny Christ in your life? Are you unwilling to answer someone, unwilling to be bold, silent when given the opportunity to speak, not honest about what you think when others ask you, don't tell the real reason why you won't partake in a sin, afraid to speak up to others about the necessity of salvation? An honest question deserves an honest answer. Amen. The Bible says that cowards will not inherit the kingdom of God. Are you being cowardly in your faith? Jesus said in Matthew 10:33, but whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Now here's the next part. We're rounding the corner here. Living for others will lead you to a watered down gospel. Because really, God will find it difficult to use someone who is unwilling to occasionally offend someone with the truth. And again, man, people get this idea. I hate being vulnerable with you guys. I'm literally a huge people pleaser. I am one of the biggest people pleasers on this planet. And I've always been that way. It's part of the way that I was raised and the way that I am. I care so much about what you think about me, what people think about me, what other people don't think about me. And so because I'm such a pleaser, I can't stand it when people don't like me. It infuriates me, you know, and that's why I'll always go and like make amends with people. Because even if I don't like the person, I want to make amends with them because I just can't stand it if someone I don't even like doesn't like me. Right? Am I being too vulnerable here? Okay. And so what just irks me is that when people see me preaching the word and it offends, or typing the word and it offends, that people actually think that I get some sort of like sadistic pleasure from it. I get no pleasure from it. None at all. The only pleasure that I get is that I hope that I'm honoring Christ. I hope that God is proud of me. I hope that I can get past this point of like, you know, posting something on Facebook and then checking my friend count and seeing if it went down this week. Like literally, like, come on, like how infantile is that, right? And it's same thing in the church. Like God tells me to preach a word, I preach the thing, and then I'm like, so Todd, what was the count for this week? Like how many people did we have in church? Let's see, last week I preached this, it was down, it was up. Maybe it just whatever, like, come on, man. No way. It leads to a watered down gospel. Going back to my same point, currently Janine's there, but the basement's still probably be available if this whole thing falls apart again. But, you know, put bunk beds or something. We'll figure it out. The gospel is offensive. It tells people that they're not good enough and that they have done wrong and there's no way around it. The gospel of repentance comes from a position of wrongness of the individual. The Bible says in Luke 6:26, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. I would be doing God and everybody else a disservice if everybody said nice things about Matt Krichunas all the time. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. Again, there's a point of being a rude Christian jerk, but you have to be honest and understand that not everybody is going to like you And that's okay. This is why church is so important. Because when you're in fellowship with other people, when you lose your family, we will be your family. When you lose your friends, we will be your friends. Because we will stand shoulder to shoulder and say, you know what? We will stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, come what may. And if the rest of the world doesn't agree with us, we're going to stick by each other. Well, this is the last point. Living for others is a requirement sometimes, but not at the expense of truth. Okay? We can't just completely say like, well, we're going to preach truth at every corner, and every time we interact with somebody, we're going to tell them they're sinners in need of a savior because we want to honor God. Like, let's have some balance here, man. We still got to live in this world, and we still got to have relationships. All of this isn't to say that we shouldn't ever think about others, because the truth is we should constantly be thinking about others. We should constantly be thinking about their salvation. We should constantly be thinking about their eternal resting place. Because how you live your life gives these people an idea of what a Christian looks like. And so when you're caring about what other people think about 1 Peter 2:12 that says, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors, that even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Like, your cul-de-sac, your street, your workplace, you are the only Christian that somebody may see. And so how you conduct yourself, how you interact with your spouse, how you keep your yard, all of those things are an example to a lost and dying world what a Christian looks like. And so when you're interacting at school, when you're interacting at work, all of those things you should be caring about, am I displaying a Christian character and a God that people would want to follow? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:21, for we are taking great care to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. Sometimes we just have to do what's right, even though we don't agree with it, because we want to be seen as people that are admirable and loving people, right? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:7, furthermore, he must have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the snare of the devil. How the world responds to you is an indication of whether or not you are living for Christ. Now, what's interesting, you can be sold out for Jesus, living for God, going to church, living the way you're supposed to live, and still have people that are outsiders in the world that still respect you, that still are nice to you, and will still talk to you because you're a good, honorable, loving person. Last scripture, Romans 15:1-12. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. Don't live for others, because living for others will control your mind, destroy your confidence, control you, cause you to be ashamed of God, preach a watered-down gospel, but you still have to live for others sometimes, but not at the expense of truth. Amen? Amen. Amen. Would you guys close your eyes and bow your heads? Hey, if you've never given your life to Jesus, I always like to give you an opportunity to do that. It's really quite simple. Either you're living for Jesus or you're not. And I even want to invite those of you that are watching online. We get a lot of online watchers, and even if you're watching online, God is still drawing you close to him today. He's asking you to live for him, and it's an all or nothing proposition. Either live for Jesus or don't live for Jesus, but don't do it halfway. And if you've never made that decision before and you'd like to make that decision for the first time, we'd love to pray with you. And so if you would like to raise your hand right now and say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus, we're ready to pray with you. Is there anybody that needs to make that decision for the first time tonight? Not a rededication, just a first time. You've never made that decision before. Okay. If you're watching online and you make that decision, we'd love to get an email or figure out how we can pray with you for that. My hope from this message tonight is that you would just move into a new realm of confidence in who God has called you to be. You quit thinking about what other people think and care about what God thinks. And if there's an area of your life that you need to make that right with God, just take a minute and pray. Father, we pray that we would be people that would just be confident in you. Father, we would care what other people think, but not care so much about what they think. We would just care about what you think, so that we could bring glory to your name. Father, we pray that you would just spur us on to good works, Father, that you would give us confidence in those situations that we need to speak up about you, Father, that we could live a life that would be holy and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for coming. See you on Sunday. Get your kids and Take care. Have a good night.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team. Thank you for